where's my butt? Holy, holy, holy.
I want to see if they play it back. See if it comes through. Any day now.
Holy, 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 holy. Where's my butt? Holy, holy, holy.
I want to see if they play it back.
Save that.
See if it comes through. And we're recording. And we can do the intro whenever you're ready, Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Shining Wizards. Today we talk about the resurgence of Halftime Heat, operations manager and head trainer at the Monster Factory and the Ring of Honor Dojo, Danny Cage joins us. Hey guys, it's the Shining Wizards.
Yes. The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
I'm Rob Killjoy, representing the Ugly Ducklings, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast. Quack, quack, quack.
I have a small dick.
Titties! God damn! Woo!
Episode 410, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and it's another edition of the two-man group.
Woo-hee!
Of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about the wrestling.
And that other voice on the other end of the room is my wizard compatriot.
Woohoo! You had to mention Patriot, didn't you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, did you watch the game, by the way?
I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Shining Wizards Kevin.
Hello!
KJG.
That's it.
The star of two, count them two, podcasts.
That's right. One will be returning shortly.
I hope so.
We will be back.
I think there's a bit of a balance. Like, when Natty is doing the bumper podcast, it seems that the Dumbfellas goes away.
Well, I'll tell you, without getting too personal.
Uh-oh.
No. It's nothing between us. We're all good. We all just did a huge photo shoot yesterday for much stuff to come. But Natty has a family.
Of course.
Like, just like you have a family.
Yes.
So sometimes that takes over and his availability isn't as available.
Boo!
So while he might put out the bumper podcast, that's something he can do by himself in the comfort of his own home.
You know, you say by himself, but he always has like seven or eight different people on the show with him.
All right.
You like that?
I do. There you go. So
it's an interesting little show. It's available on the Shining Wizards Network, as is the Dumbfellas. Yeah. So please check it out. I'm sorry. Continue.
No. Well, that's it. You wrapped a nice little bow on it before we could even talk about it.
Well,
so it's
please
all good.
Support everyone on the Shining Wizards Network. We got a myriad, a conglomeration, a gaggle
of
greatness.
All right.
That should be the new tagline.
A gaggle of greatness.
Fuck entertainment here. It should be a gaggle of greatness.
I think the geese have that trademarked already.
Well, I don't know how great geese are. Have you ever stepped in goose shit?
Yes, all the time.
Them fucking green cigars with the white tapered end that they leave all over the neighborhood?
Not pleasant.
But you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do, of course. If you ever worked in any business complex ever that has a fountain, then... or
that's
grass.
A great point.
There's going to be geese shit.
Which ones do you hate more? Now, I mean, hate is a variable. Which ones do you like less? The mallards or the Canadians?
Which pains me to say because I'm so pro Canada, but I gotta go with the Canadians.
Yeah, they're kind of annoying
because the mallards are like the Canadians are like New Jersey. They're so densely populated. The mallards aren't around as often, but they're way more annoying. So it's like you get more of the Canadian geese because they're so prevalent. But when you run into a mallard poop, oof.
Yeah, but those Canadian ones are pretty fucking gross.
Yeah, and they listen, when do you ever see like mallard like a the mallards don't fly in a V. The geese fly in the V.
Yeah, but geese also travel in gaggles of like a 1 to 200.
Oh yeah,
you never
it's
see
strategic.
Like one or two geese, like one goose or two geese.
No, unless
by
it's
themselves.
The outcast.
Yeah,
unless it's like the Matt.
Okay.
Unless it's Matt is the geese of the Shining Wizards.
Well,
the
Matt's slinging pizzas somewhere in a truck tonight. Thankfully, the weather here up in the Northeast is kind of mild.
67 degrees.
And last week we had 6 or 7 degrees.
That's it.
But on psh.
Ah, that was actually pretty good. I didn't pick up on that.
I'm clever, bro.
Not bad, man.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. So you mentioned the Super Bowl.
I did.
Did you watch it?
Of course I watched it.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it. I really didn't want to, but it was a fast game. It was kind of boring. I mean, fast not that it was moving fast. Fast that thankfully there wasn't
time.
Things keeping the clock from stopping too often.
It was a defensive battle. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the offense was absolutely putrid. And listen, I want to preface this. We're not sports guys. Analysizers. All right, I just made that up because I've had a lot to drink on very few foodstuffs.
No, I like it. It's good. You want pizza? I got pizza upstairs.
No, I'm good. I'm just kidding.
It'd be really funny if we had pizza and Matt's not here.
No, it'd be perfect.
Oh, fuck him. He's listening somewhere, so shout out to Matt, the third wizard.
That's it.
And
no, I watched the game. I enjoyed the game for the most part. Like,
I just wasn't into it, to be honest with you. Like, there was some, I was like,
I think a lot of people had preconceived not into it motions or notions.
Or notions. Yeah, notion motions.
So
something like that.
That's it.
And did you watch Maroon 5?
I did.
Are you kidding me?
Of course.
You need to turn in your man card as you leave the studio.
Dude, listen, Maroon 5 was a legit awesome band. Let me explain something to you. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Maroon 5 was awesome.
And they're not awesome anymore?
No, but the thing is with me is, no, they suck. But
really?
They're grandfathered in.
You don't like moves like Jagger or Animals or anything like that?
I like them because I have to. Like I said, they're grandfathered. They're like Green Day to me.
I have to like them.
They're Green Day to me. Maroon 5 and Green Day are like, listen, I know what their stuff lately hasn't been awesome or great, but they're grandfathered in. I like them since day one, so they can't do wrong by me.
I kind of like some of Maroon 5's newer stuff.
No, it's catchy. Like I said.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with catchy people. There's nothing wrong with catchy.
But you understand my point? It's like,
oh, I get it.
I don't want to turn my back on you just because you're so corporate now and it's so fucking awful. But like, listen, the new song with Cardi B is a nice little tune.
Oh, I didn't listen to
that. Sugar's a good little tune. Moves Like Jagger's okay. Payphone I liked even like songs about Jane.
Wow.
Was
your Maroon 5 knowledge like
I
have no idea what you're talking about.
Because I would go see them. I would go see them in Philly. I'd go see them in Delaware. I'd go see them in Jersey. Obviously, that's not too far. In New York, I'd see them all the time.
Kevin's
I was a big Maroon 5 guy back in my college days.
Fair enough.
Which is, again, we're going on.
Don't even start
14
with how
years,
long college was.
Or 13 years.
Good God.
So I didn't hate it as much, but I also was at my family's, so I had my nieces running around doing crazy stuff, so I was more paying attention to them.
Well, that's fine. And look, you went to a Maroon 5 concert.
Multiple Maroon 5 concerts.
I went to see Taylor Swift a few years ago, okay? I've seen shows where, and you know what? I've said it on the show. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. We had a great time. Went with the wife, went with the kid. There's nothing wrong with it, bro.
Taylor Swift's all right.
Yeah, she's not bad.
That's bad.
She's not bad. She's okay.
Man. Tony, I want to tell you something.
What do you want to tell me?
First of all, we have Danny Cage coming up.
Good call.
At 7:30. He is the operations manager of the new Ring of Honor Dojo. He's also the owner and head trainer at the Monster Factory, the world-famous Monster Factory. So that's coming up at 7:30. So if you're listening now and waiting for him, he will be on at 7:30.
Yeah, so you can go do something else for 20
minutes. No, because I'm going to – listen, you're going to stick around because I'm going to tell you a story, my friend. Have you ever had a wrestling dream?
A dream to become a wrestler? Yes,
no,
I
no,
lived
like
in.
And you're sleeping, and your mind is thinking about wrestling, and you can see it in your head. That's what a dream
I'm
is.
I'm sure I have, but nothing that I can recall at the moment.
I had one last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we need spooky dream music?
You might.
I don't know if I have. I might have Halloween music in here somewhere.
No, it's not. It's not like a. It's a pretty like. Let me tell you what it is.
No, but it's like, you know, like that. Woo.
Yeah, but it's not because it's not very scary. And it's more of like a...
Yeah, but it's interdimensional because it's, you know, it's something in the abstract,
and
I guess.
It has some of our friends in the dream.
You know what? I dumped all the Halloween stuff.
That's
probably,
all right.
Probably last month. I could give you this if you want.
It's not really appropriate.
What? This is...
All right, let's work for this. So I had a dream. Actually, this works perfectly.
The dreamers are coming over the
wall. No, play that again.
Wait, you want me to start it over?
No. Let it loop. Because I had a dream that I was an independent wrestler booked on an outdoor indie show.
In Mexico?
Close. Tito Santana was the promoter. Swear to God. And I get there, and I'm my gear, right?
Oh, this is awesome.
My gear is the Shining Wizards Kevin shirt.
Oh, which I'm wearing, which is available at prowrestlingtees.com/wizardspodcast.
The long sleeve shirt and black and red and white Nike shorts, right? And it's outside, awesome. Right? The ring is getting set up.
Your name should have been CM Schmuck.
I'll tell you what my name was. Because this was like an open challenge indie show. There was a tag team open challenge, right? Listen, I'm telling you right now, it gets better.
This is awesome.
I don't know who did the tag team open challenge. I don't remember, but I know that Jimmy Havoc. Remember?
Jimmy Havoc. I know Jimmy Havoc.
No, see, there's who was the one? God, it sounds so bad. He was the first one to ever wear our shirt out to the ring.
Janela.
No. May not be Jimmy Havoc.
Corey Havoc?
Corey Havoc.
All right, Corey Havoc. That makes
Corey
more
Havoc
sense.
Corey Havoc was called out for the open challenge. And you know who his partner was?
You.
Nope.
Who was it?
Johnny Gargano.
Get out of here.
That was Corey Havoc brings out Johnny Gargano.
How cool. Was he wearing a Wizard shirt?
No, he was wearing his regular NXT gear.
Because I'm surprised, because you had posted up the Gargano Wizards picture today.
That's what triggered the post today.
That's awesome.
And
did they win the tag tournament thing?
Nothing happened after that. It's all scattery.
So it's all on you.
Yeah, here's the other open challenge was just incredible. The PJ Polacco open challenge.
And
that's what I was booked for.
And you answered the call?
No. Because Rich Swann came up to me before the show, before the match, and said, listen, your car is dying. Your light was on in your car in the parking lot. We just noticed it, and you have to go check on your car. So I go check on my car. I miss my spot. I go back out to Tito Santana, who's at like one of the merch tables on the side.
Oh no!
And I'm like, hey man, what happened to my spot? And he's like, who are you?
Oh,
I'm like, I'm Kevin.
He knows.
I'm like,
you.
I was supposed to be in the PJ Polacco Open Challenge, and then I go look at my name and it says Kevin Grifo. You know what my name was? My gimmick name?
What?
John D. Polacco. I was supposed to be Just Incredible's brother coming out to accept the open challenge.
Oh my God. And you never got it.
I never got it. And then I woke up.
Oh, that's terrible.
Dude, and the ring was so shitty. My car had like duct tape all over it for some reason.
Wait, the ring was shitty, so your car had duct tape?
This all happened. Dude, it was like what's that view on like the iPhone where it's like where like you like see everything and you can make a photo where it's
like pan view, pan.
That's what the dream was like. Everything was happening. Like my car was over there with duct tape all over.
But that's the crazy thing about dreams. Like you walk out of your front door of your house and you could be like at the mall.
Yeah.
Like shit just like happens in an instant. Like,
dude, like Rich Swann comes up, he's like, hey man, your car's not starting. I'm like, first of all, why are you trying to start my car?
Rich Swann fucked you over, dude.
No, but then I went and get the keys.
Yes,
and
he did.
No, I'll tell you what.
He took your spot, bro.
No, Rich Swann may have. I may have got bumped for Rich Swann. I may have.
Probably.
But he got, I went and go to get my keys, and my keys were on like this gold chain lanyard. And then I tried to start my car, and my car wouldn't start. I'm like, these aren't my keys. And then Rich Swann is like, oh, no, we got your keys. And they were on, like, another merch table. So, like, Rich Swann comes up to me. He's like, oh, these are your keys. And I try to start my car again, and it doesn't start again.
Wait, so Rich Swann is supposed to be wrestling your brother, PJ, but all this time he keeps stopping to give you different keys?
Dude, I'm telling you, it was the most
random. Are you sure it was Rich Swann that wrestled?
Rich Swann, like, the people I remember 100% in my dream, Tito Santana, Corey Havoc, Johnny Gargano, Rich Swann.
That's fucking insane.
And Tito Santana, like, I remember him showing me the flyers. Like, oh, you must be John D. Polacco.
John D. Polacco.
I was supposed to challenge Just Incredible.
That's unbelievable. That was an amazing story. I'm so glad you opened with that. We might as well just cancel our guest.
Yeah.
Nothing's topping that.
Danny
tonight.
Cage can't top John D. Polacco.
Sorry, Danny. Maybe next week.
Dude, Tito, he was sitting there with the glasses and his, like, shirt and, like, windbreaker pants. It was...
Did you walk back up to him and go, yo, Tito, what happened to my spot?
No, I don't know. I didn't.
Or did you go, hey, Chico, what gives?
It was at the West Orange High School football field. Because I remember walking up the little path. I don't know how Rich Swann knew where my car was. It was ridiculous. My shitty 2005 Toyota Corolla with duct tape all over it.
That's fucking hilarious. That made my night, bro. That was a great dream.
Listen, I hope to go back. Like, did you ever try to go back into your dream?
Yeah, of course. Like, you wake up and you're still kind of a little groggy. You kind of doze back off.
I'm going to try to get back in there tonight.
There's some nights where my sleep is so disturbed, I can get back into the same dream like 6 or 7 times. And it's strange shit. Like, there was one where, like, I bought a house, but it wasn't this house. And, like, the attic had half the roof missing, so I had to put tarps up.
So it was really hard. It was really hard to raise the roof then.
All right, I'll give you credit for that one. Half of, like, the floorboards were missing, so, like, my bed was there, but my bed was teetering on 2 boards. Like, it's weird shit. And then you wake up, and then you go back. It's like, okay, now I have to check the basement. So now you just drop right back in, and you just keep going with it. It's really weird, but it's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Bizarre. I'm going to win because I'm bizarre.
The British Bulldogs, actually.
That's funny, and I guess...
Yeah, we were having a little tete-a-tete about that.
You want to go right into the meat and potatoes of this...
Let's just jump right in. We got some time.
Did they announce that last night?
I sped through Raw, and I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
And you figured because Natty was on the show, they would have had something with it, but they didn't.
And usually, if it leaks the day of, they'll usually put it up.
But now, was this a definite leak, or was this just somebody speculating?
No, this was confirmed by, at least on PW Insider.
Mike Johnson?
Mike Johnson is never wrong,
fucking
man.
Fucking never wrong, dude.
Mike Johnson is never wrong. So, for those of you who don't know, the Hart Foundation, the original Hart Foundation.
Yes.
Trio of Jimmy Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yes.
Are speculated, confirmed,
sort
air quotes,
of.
To be the first inductees in the 2019 Hall of Fame.
Which is crazy.
Which, because, for a lot of reasons, but it'll include the next 2 multiple-time inductees.
Now, you see, when I said this to you, I thought Bret Hart. I didn't even consider that Jimmy Hart was already in the Hall of Fame.
I had
to
double-check that myself.
And he's been in an awful long time already. He was one of the very early on, like, 90s inductees,
no,
wasn't he?
No. I think he was a USA special guy, I think.
Really?
I think so. I haven't checked either, but...
Well, I'm going to pull it up right now.
I'm pretty sure he was, like, a USA Network...
I've got to pull this
it's
up.
It's got to
right
be 2000s.
This is crazy.
Now do it, because I'm not 100% sure either.
And of course,
I know we inducted Hulk in, and he also inducted Hillbilly Jim in, but I think Hulk may have inducted him?
He also has Jimmy Hart's world-famous tiki deck.
God, it's so funny hearing Eric Bischoff talk about Jimmy Hart.
Why?
Because he fucking shits on him. He's like, why is Jimmy Hart on 95% of this show running around like a banshee?
Oh, shit. Hey, Jimmy Hart's a former AWA Southern Heavyweight Champion. I don't know how that happened. We'll have to research
that.
The
same way Vince Russo became a WCW champion for shitty fucking booking, even though it's probably better then.
Where am I seeing?
Oh, come on, man. You're
no, I'm not. I'm seeing Legends House. I'm seeing Hogan's Beach thing. Oh, you know what? It's got to be at the bottom, right? Oh, Hall of Fame class of 2005. You're right.
Yeah.
It was later on. Yeah, wow.
He was a USA Network guy that got the old induction. I believe the Hulkster inducted it. Or Jerry Lawler, maybe.
I can't go
Or
on
Andy
that.
Kaufman from Beyond the Grave.
Ooh.
One of the... That's what the Halloween music would have been.
Well, if it was fucking still near Halloween, I would have had it somewhere.
All right. So, Hart Foundation going in.
I'm okay with it.
I'm 100% okay with it. And this is the debate we get into every time this year. A lot of people argue about the timing of it. And to me, as much as, listen, everyone knows myself, along with Shining Wizards Matt, are huge Hart Foundation, Bret Hart guys. You're putting in, to me, this is simply, and this is no disrespect, to get Jim the Anvil Neidhart in the Hall of Fame. Close
you,
to after he died.
You don't think that the Anvil could go in on his own?
Nope.
Really?
I do not.
What puts him in a better class than some of the people that they always say shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame? Like, what makes him...
To me, he is the same reason why Marty Jannetty can't get in on his own.
Okay. All right. That I can understand. You put in that term. That absolutely makes perfect sense.
He deserves to be in as a part of the Hart Foundation.
The new Hart Foundation?
Oh, the new foundation? Come on.
What about High Energy?
He wasn't in High Energy.
Oh, that was Coco.
That was Owen and Coco.
Fuck.
And none of those tag teams on by themselves are Hall of Famers.
Who? Who's a Hall of Famer?
Who's a Hall? Wait, who?
Who? What?
What's a Hall? Wait, oh, yeah. Who's on first?
What's a Hall of Famer? What's a Hall of Famer, Kevin?
No, who's a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
And again, I get it. And it, maybe part of it is to have Bret Hart appear again. Maybe it's, I just think it's solely to get Jimmy Anvil Neidhart in the Hall of Fame, which he should be in.
Fair.
And he should have been in before this as a tag team, I believe.
Okay. Well, then it goes back to some conversations we had a few weeks ago. Why the Hart Foundation and why not
the British Bulldogs?
Yes.
Because
teams that came up at the same time, and let's be honest, in the history of tag team wrestling, British Bulldogs, I think, made a bigger mark around the world.
Agreed.
Than the Hart Foundation.
Agreed. Globally. Globally, yes, but in WWF, the Hart Foundation, I give the leg up over the Bulldogs.
Fair enough.
Because they lasted longer.
But don't forget, there are a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that some of them didn't even wrestle in WWE.
Right. And I don't want to open Pandora's box again because we do it all the time.
But this is the time of year to do it.
Agreed. And I love talking about it. I absolutely love talking about it. But I want to narrow the scope down to the Harts and the Bulldogs and why it's strictly these three. And I'll tell you, and people are clamoring, why isn't it Bulldog, Owen, Pillman as well?
Oh, come on. They have to know why. You have to know why they're not going in. It's because of Owen.
It's because of Owen.
How could you put in that group and not have Owen part of the group?
Agreed.
That's like putting in the Four Horsemen and not having, say, I don't know, Mongo?
Mongo is so underrated as a horseman.
He really
is. So underrated.
He really is.
So underrated as a horseman.
Did we ever rank the horsemen on the show? We should save that for when Matt's around.
Dude, 7-8 years, we probably have.
Not as a group. I mean, like, the members. Like, rank them all from, like, best to worst members of the horsemen.
All right, well, we obviously know the top two.
Well, of course. But no, but we should save that. Maybe that'll be a Facebook topic for tomorrow.
No, I want to do it. I want to talk about it.
All right, we'll talk. You want to save it for
Oh, my God. I'm actually really excited about that.
Do you want to talk about it now?
I want to get back to this.
Because I want to make sure I cover everybody that's ever been in the Horsemen. And I know I'm going to forget some people.
Do you think you could do it off the top of your head?
Ooh, you want to do it?
We have 8 minutes till our guest calls in.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this.
I think I can do it.
All right, well, so no, you would be better at it, so let me take a stab
at it.
Okay,
fair enough.
All right.
Hold on, let me get a pen.
All right.
This is like almost like naming every member of the NWO, but a little easier, I think.
Easier in the fact that they're more historic, maybe harder because
it's so
spread out.
I could do it right now.
Oh, I'm sure I could get 99% of them.
All right.
There might be one.
I'm
going to
write them down. All right, go.
So we got Flair.
Yep.
We got Tully.
Yep.
We got Arn.
Yep.
We got Ole.
Yep.
We got Barry Windham.
Yep.
We've got Lex Luger.
Yep.
We've got Sid.
Yep.
We've got Paul Roma.
Yep.
We've got, well, do you want to consider JJ as a member?
Well, you just mentioned him, so
All right, JJ Dillon, Hiro Matsuda, I think was originally when JJ took over.
The manager. Right? Oh, see, no, all right. Yeah. No. If you're not including, well, I'm not including Matsuda.
Okay.
So then, whatever.
All right, whatever. Yeah. So I left off with Paul Roma, right? And
yeah.
Sid, Mongo, Chris Benoit, Brian Pillman. D. Malenko. Fuck, there's got to be somebody in the middle that I'm forgetting.
There's two that I'm thinking that you're missing.
Of course. Probably around the time where Sid... Oh, Sting.
There's one.
And there's got to be somebody else. I mentioned Wyndham, right?
Yes.
I don't think... Oh, are you considering Jeff Jarrett?
I wasn't thinking of him, but yes, I am considering Jeff
you
Jarrett.
You are putting him in the...
Yep, 100%.
Oh, and Kurt Hennig. Didn't he take...
I wasn't thinking of him either.
Okay, well, he had the spot.
You're still missing one.
For like a week. It's got to be some lesser guy, right?
Nope.
Really? I'm missing a name?
Yep. Unless you said it and I missed it. But I don't think you did.
Well, I said Tully. I said Barry. I said Lex.
Did you say Lex?
I said Lex.
Okay, then yeah, you got it.
Oh, I got him.
Yeah.
Did I get them all?
Pretty sure. I mean, again, I'm doing this just as quick as you are.
Ah! Not bad.
All right, yeah, so you got the two that I wasn't even... You got Jarrett and Hennig.
I don't know if Jarrett's definite. Hennig,
he is. He
Hennig
is.
Has to be there for at least a week because he took Arn's spot.
No, Hennig was there for a while until...
until he turned
until on the him. War games when he turned on him. But not in a while, of course, is to scale. It wasn't
but there's nobody. There's nobody that we're missing. Like, nobody floated and snuck in from Japan or anything like that?
Nope.
Wow, I did a good job. That was pretty awesome.
And listen, I've been...
Now show's over.
Well, no, I'll tell you why Jarrett I considered, because I'm every like 6 months I go down the WCW rabbit hole from when the NWO started, and Jarrett was an official horseman because Benoit for some reason was not on TV, and Mongo and Jarrett had this feud with like the Public Enemy, and they would come out together when Benoit was nowhere to be found. I don't know if he was hurt.
They feuded with each other then, didn't they?
They did eventually jump Jeff Jarrett out of the Horsemen.
And then isn't that how Deborah wound up with Jeff? Or did that not happen until WWE?
No,
when did Deborah
Deborah was... Well, listen, this is crazy because I'm getting to that point. Deborah was a manager for like Alex Wright at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you
wow.
Like, when,
no, I don't.
When Mongo was in his feud with Goldberg, Alex Wright somehow got involved, and Deborah would escort Alex Wright to the ring. So Deborah was an enigma. And
I thought you were going to say hussy.
No, well, she was, and I just listened. I listened to 83 Weeks with Bischoff about Sold Out 98, and about how Deborah at some point fizzled her way out of the storylines, but she was involved.
Oh, because Demolition got too big for britches.
I don't know. It's it was crazy, but you did it. As far as I know, and I'm sure someone's going to call us out that we may have missed somebody, I think you got them all.
I think Matt's shaking his head. He's like, wow, that son of a bitch got them all. He's listening somewhere slinging pies. Unless Prince of Pro's got anything.
Prince of Pro, if you're there, if we missed the whole... I think you got them.
I did a good job.
Because you did... I wasn't even thinking of Jarrett or Hennig. So when I had my two that you missed, it was Sting and Luger. You said Luger.
I swore there was going to be somebody that I missed, like, in the middle there.
No. The one that you would miss would be the Paul Roma or the Mongo or
I almost
or
whiffed on Sting. Sting, like, popped into my head. I'm like, oh, shit.
I was hoping to catch you on Sting. I was hoping to be like, you chicken fucker.
No, but I'm... really?
Yeah. That was my exact line.
No, I'm glad, though, that you told me there were two left, because then it got the wheels in motion. Okay, who didn't I mention?
And then you mentioned people that I wasn't even...
See, because it's easier... if I was writing them down, it would have been easier for me to see and notice who I didn't pick.
Yeah, but if we both sat here writing them down, that means the microphones would be basically off and there'd be no...
What game show... Sorry,
tune out.
I was ready to push that off to the side, but yeah. Wasn't there a game show where people went back and forth where they gave them they'd say Super Bowl champions, and they go back and forth and they would name
the pyramid.
No, was it pyramid?
I think so.
Was it $25,000 pyramid?
I think so.
No, that was different.
And they have a list of words you can't say, and you can't say like sounds like.
No, well, they would give you like the clue.
Oh, password.
No, those.
I'm running out of game shows here, dude.
No, it'd be like name all of the Super Bowl winners, starting with Super Bowl I, and you go back and forth like Green Bay Packers, and then you would say Green Bay Packers.
Oh, then
you know what I'm saying?
The name game?
Yeah, I don't remember. You know when I saw that on that dumb like game show network where on USA when they used to have shit like Bumper Stumpers and Scrabble and things like that.
Bumper Stumpers.
Yeah, they would have like phone.
That sounds like it's something from your adult collection.
Oh, that's Bumper Humpers.
Oof.
Oh, fucking A. No, Bumper Stumpers. They would
speed
have like
Bumper Humpers for those who are lessly able.
You idiots.
They would have like fake license plates, and you'd have to decipher what they say. And like they would be like cutesy little things, like I am like you know like HRD, like I am hard, and like you'd have to like translate it.
What? That's a show?
It was called Bumper Stumpers. Yes, I'm not crazy.
What this channel was this on?
It was on USA. It was like
what
those,
decade was this
the
on?
The 80s or early 90s? It was one of those wacky shows. I want to say it was out of the Canadas, but I'm not 100% sure. And of course, now we're getting into something, and we have a guest calling in.
No, we got 2 minutes. Fine. We got 2 minutes to digress into Bumper Stumpers.
Bumper Stumpers is a Canadian game show.
Of course it is.
In which two players attempted to decipher vanity license plates in an attempt to win money. It aired on, it was part of Canada's Global Television Network and aired in the United States in the USA Network.
Bumper Stompers.
Let me see. It was 1987.
Eight?
And aired until 1990.
1987?
Did I say it like that?
No, I did.
Oh. Why? 789 was 69?
No, because it's Canadian. God damn it, Tony. Catch up.
It says, all right, Wink Martindale and Dan Enright were the producers, but who the hell was the host?
Eric Bischoff.
Well, of course it was.
Mark Summers.
Stop it. Wait, why
Alex Trebek, he's Canadian.
Bill Cosby came up? Why did
Yeah, with the bumper and the stumpers.
I put the pill in the jello.
Yeah, and it stumps your bump.
holy shit.
No. That's a terrible Bill Cosby, but it's so funny.
For instance, a plate belonging to swashbucklers would read PYR88. Pirate. Get it? Or pirates.
All right, good. So it wasn't too vulgar.
Fucking terrible.
That's an awful game. That's an awful, awful game.
And they would use weird shit. Like, you could use, like, the Roman numerals, like, to make stuff. Oh, my God.
This WrestleMania used a lot of Roman numerals.
They used to. Now it's just WrestleMania.
Sons of bitches.
Oh, my God. This show is way too involved for my remembering. I just remember they had license.
Maybe we'll do a watch-along for Patreon where we watch Bumper Stumpers.
Bumper Stumpers. Or Bumper Humpers.
Hey-o. Thank you for supporting the Patreon, by the way, people.
Yes. We'll get to them.
I just want to throw out the old goodie list.
Calling in Danny Cage in a few minutes.
That's right.
So we talked about the Horsemen. Is there anything else? Anything in news and notes we can get into?
Nah. I'd like to go back to... Now, can you name...
Oh, here we go again. Go ahead.
Every NWO member.
Oh, Jesus. Probably not.
Ever.
But I think if I put some... You know what? I think if I put some effort into it, I could do it.
I don't think he can.
Oh, are we doing this now?
I don't think he can.
This is going to be hard. This is going to be hard.
That's what she said.
Hi-yo. Oh,
God. I don't think he can.
All right.
As confident as I am that I can, I don't think I can.
All right. Do you want to take a shot at this one?
Sure.
And are we doing international members as well? Members.
Yeah, yes, but I'm sure if I do miss one, it's going to be one of them.
Oh, great. You know what a mistake I fucking made? Members of the NWA. And apparently the NWA came up as the rap group. So now I'm seeing Yella and Dr. Dre. I don't remember the Arabian Prince. Who was that?
In NWA?
Yes.
Did
DJ Yella, MC Ren.
Did Nick Aldis defeat him for the championship?
Yes, the Arabian Prince.
Oh my God.
What?
That was awful.
What, the a-la-la?
Yeah, the a-la-la-la-la.
The fact they actually did it, or?
Well, because you, it's...
All right, do you want to, oh, wow. Whoever did Wikipedia for the list of New World Order members?
Bloop, a bloppity bloopity.
A bloppity bloppity bloppity.
Ooh, the bump stumper.
Jeez, I can't talk.
Do you remember what that was from?
Play one more time.
Jeez, I can't talk.
What, was that something that we did?
No, it was Renee Young from the Royal Rumble.
Jeez, I can't talk.
Wait, so Matt is here.
And it rhymed, too.
Wow, listen, let me ask. I want to ask, Shining Wizards Matt is here. Matt, what do you think about the Royal Rumble?
Well, Matt just gave me... Oh,
come on.
Jeez, I can't talk.
No, you got me because Matt actually texted me.
I know, I got it too.
Fuck it. Matt, you threw me off.
That was a perfect bit.
Oh. Oh! Here's a good one. How many members of the NWO were in the Four Horsemen?
That I can do easily.
Okay.
I mean, are we counting Barry Windham? Because I don't think he was ever officially in the NWO. But he came back in the team with Kurt Hennig.
I don't know. No, we're not talking Barry Windham. Barry Windham was not in the NWO.
Sting, Luger.
Yes.
Hennig.
Yes. I think that's it.
I think that's it, too.
Sting, Luger, and Hennig have the distinction of being part of the NWO and the Four Horsemen. You want to give Mr. Cage an intro?
I got it.
All right, let's answer his call.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we are honored and privileged to have on the line right now, he is the owner of the Monster Factory and head trainer at the Monster Factory, the world famous Monster Factory, and now he's the operations manager at the Ring of Honor Dojo. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Cage joins us right now. Danny Cage, how are you, sir?
I'm loving life. I'm actually sitting out in front of the Monster Factory right now, getting ready to get in as soon as this is over. So let's get this going, guys. How's everybody doing?
We're good, man. And let's get right to it. You're in a hurry. We don't want to keep you. Let's get right into it. How did this relationship with Ring of Honor, yourself, and the Monster Factory go down?
Yeah, I guess it started back in, I think, 2013 or 14. Started coming around the camps and got to be friends with Kevin Kelly by having him do some of our seminars and camps. And actually, there was talks of the Monster Factory working with Ring of Honor back then. Talks fell through. I would always come around to camps, help out, just even to watch. I just said, can I just even come just to watch? And I would never say anything. I would just sit there and just watch and learn and see how they ran the camps. And it slowly progressed into over the years of like me being around and people, our guys going over there, like Punisher Martinez was wrestling for him, LSG, Shaheem, Tim Hughes. And us using some of their guys, like Cheeseburger and Will and Rhett. And then I got to be good friends with Delirious, you know, Hunter. And it got to be like, okay, well, why don't you help out at a camp? And then there was talks of stuff going on with their school, I guess, like in 2017, because I know they were building a new one. And then that fell through. And I started coming by the dojo when they opened up in Hanover, Maryland. And just, you know, just looking and seeing some things that could be worked on and things that I could help with and needs that I could fill. And I kind of just like created a job for myself, and I approached Hunter, and then I went to Greg with a proposal and sat down and had a meeting, and everything worked out. And, you know, it's been going well since I started in December 1st, my contract was activated. So everything's going good. I go there, you know, sometimes multiple days a week, and still to the Monster Factory. All Future of Honor shows run out of the Monster Factory. And, you know, plus the coaching, the training, and then the social media and all that stuff. It's now I got, you know, I'm basically, you know, helping to hold down the fort over there while everybody does the coaching. And, like, it's like a great team we have right now over there at the ROH Dojo. There's me, Hunter, Will, John Gresham, and another coach that we will be announcing later in the week that's been there for a while, but nobody's really known. So it's pretty cool what we got going on.
So just to be clear, just for those who may not be up to date, is the Maryland facility, that still exists, correct, or no?
That's where it is, yeah.
That's where it is, yeah. Okay. Now that's what I wanted to just make people aware of, that the Monster Factory Wall is going to host a lot of the Future of Honor shows. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We just host the Future of Honor shows. And, you know, I still coach over at ROH Dojo, and the Monster Factory is still running all that stuff. I just split my time over there. They train Monday through Thursday over there. And it's only an hour and a half from the Monster Factory. So what I do sometimes is I'll head down like on a Monday when we don't train, and then I'll spend the night and then coach there Tuesday. And then Tuesday night, I drive back to the Monster Factory and finish out the night at the Monster Factory.
Perfect. And let's just get into the whole training aspect. Obviously, us as podcasters and wrestling fans forever, we know about your history, but what exactly made you the right fit for this job, in your opinion?
I think it was more of that they had other needs other than just the coaching, because I help out with the coaching and some structuring. But like, what's cool about what we have going on at the dojo is like, we all sit down and we'll decide like, hey, this is what we're going to do. These are the days this guy's in. This is what we're going to cover. And then we just don't smarten the students up for it. And we just cover it that way. But I think what else helped was, you know, basically me starting, you know, from scratch really with the Monster Factory back in 2011 and building it to what it is now. Now it had a reputation prior, but essentially when I got it, I had no ring, no building, no students really. So I had to start from scratch and build up the social media presence, you know, the rings, we did the recruiting of the students, the training, everything like that, the branding. So I think that's what helped me out with the whole Ring of Honor, Future of Honor thing, because there's really, there was a void there with Ring of Honor having like a feeder system. So that's what the vision was, is to get ROH Dojo feeding the Future of Honor system, that then we can talk about, instead of who's coming to Ring of Honor or who's leaving Ring of Honor, it's who's getting called up from Future of Honor to Ring of Honor is the buzz that we want to get going. And we're doing our best, and we've already had two tapings. We got a third one coming up next week, next Friday. Then we have another one after that, March 8th, and then they'll be hitting Honor Club seasons. We'll be hitting Honor Club starting sometime in March. So you'll be able to watch all the episodes, you know, firsthand on the Honor Club. And if not, you can just wait weekly, and they'll be released on YouTube and Facebook.
Will there be crossover between Monster Factory training and Ring of Honor training? Will they be separated like church and state, or will there be absolutely crossover in terms of you get to the Monster Factory, this is a door that can be open for you?
Oh, no, they're, that's already been determined. I've already had talks with them, and I bring students with me almost weekly to train at the dojo, at the ROH dojo with me, and they can slowly earn their way in by keep showing up and keep working hard. But I'm not just putting in people there who aren't ready. Like, I stake my reputation on everything. So, you know, we get the guys in there, because right now we currently have three people that are training there, which is Primal Fear. Nick Camarada was training there. He's leaving for WWE. We have Raquel Vaughn, a girl who moved from Texas, but she had to move back, but she was training there as well. But just tonight, one of our students is over there, you know, getting seen and getting some work in. And, you know, periodically I bring like two or three students with me who aren't training there full time. And, you know, I got the go ahead to do that. And if it works out, if they decide, hey, you know, we want these guys training here full time, then they'll still, you know, train here and there, because our guys that are training over at ROH still train here as well. You can't get enough reps in. So we have guys that train there and here.
How did you wind up getting into this position of, you know, of authority and ownership? You know, like even way back when you first, you know, came into ownership of the Monster Factory, like what made you decide, like, yeah, this is the route that I want to go now. This is like, I want to be in the business, and I want to be the guy that's in charge, the guy that trains, the guy that molds, you know, the up and coming wrestlers for the future. Was there any thought ever put into that when you were first training yourself?
No, it was just me helping out. Like, always back in the day, me, QT, Marshall, Punishment Martinez, and Mike Reed, when we were back at the Monster Factory in the early 2000s, we'd always talk about, man, if we had a school, we'd run it like this, or we'd do this, or we'd do that. And then, you know, I came by to help somebody out, and that's when Larry was like, hey, you guys want to become the Monster Factory? Well, all that fell apart, and then it was just me and Larry. And, you know, as soon as I started doing it, everything just felt naturally. And like, I was like, oh man, I'm pretty good at branding, and I'm pretty good at social media. And oh my God, I know how to build a website. And I had to learn how to build a website and do editing and all this stuff. And it also helped out because I was an amateur wrestler, excuse me. And the way that they structured training was very matter of fact. And everything that you did wasn't wasted time. We didn't sit around because you could never get cold in amateur wrestling, or else you'd get injured. So we were always going from one thing to another. And that's how I kind of molded my training that way. So we would, you know, keep moving and have goals. I'm sorry if it's beeping. I just have another call coming through. So I'm just ignoring it. It's very annoying though. It's like right in my ear and I don't know how to silence it. So it just went away. But that's like, how it happened. And, you know, as it went on, I'm just like, man, I'm pretty good at this. And so I was like, but nobody knows who I am, so I'm going to bring other coaches in. And when I was coaching, like, Larry loved it. He's like, oh man, you're doing and saying everything I would say, or you're thinking of stuff I'd never even thought of. So then I started bringing, as Larry started stepping away, I started bringing in like people like Jerry Briscoe, Les Thatcher, Rip Rogers, Tom Pritchard, Bill DeMott, and I'm like, hopefully these guys, I'm not even going to talk to them because I needed to know. I'm like, I'm just going to let them coach with me and beside me, and we'll see if we say similar things. And like the first time Joe Briscoe was in like 2012, all the kids are looking at me because Briscoe, I've never even met him before, and he's saying all the things I'm saying. And, you know, so that helped out, and it helped kind of brand awareness where these coaches are now going to other people and being like, you know, what Danny Cage and what the Monster Factory has going on is pretty special. And, you know, and what comes with being special is it's like, it's not special if everybody gets to fly first class. So, you know, people that come here, like, they earn being here. Do we take almost anybody? Pretty much. As long as you're a good person, you show up on time and you put in the work, I'm going to let you train here. But like I said, most people don't last because it's very tough here. And I don't mean like we beat you up and stuff like that, but it's very disciplined. You're going to learn every aspect of wrestling here because it's not just in the ring, it's everything else. So like, for example, I had to go to Atlanta for Ring of Honor. And we had a show scheduled and I didn't cancel the show. The kids ran it and it ran perfect because they all knew how to do everything. And it was kind of like the Miyagi wax on, wax off. Like you don't even realize why you're painting the fence and you're learning karate. So like the whole time for these years, they've been learning everything and not realizing it. When I've had them set up the rings, when I had them do the cameras, when I had them watch us do the music, when I had them work on times, when I had them format a show, they weren't realizing they were actually learning how to run a show on themselves and do concession and do all that other stuff. So everything ran smooth. There was no hiccups at all. So I think that's one of the things, like everything just flowed naturally. And keep in mind, like I didn't have all the answers in the beginning. It's been 7 years of doing this, but it's constantly getting better. And I'd always constantly ask people, how do I improve? How do I get better? And taking critiques and learning from other people and taking what works and doesn't work. So like when I come to Ring of Honor and I get to talk to these different people about what works and what doesn't work, a little trepidatious at first, or like, I don't know. But then like, you know, we all start to work together and it all molds into its own kind of training. You know, over there isn't going to be all just Monster Factory. It isn't going to be all just, you know, everything. It's going to be a mold of like a hybrid style of training where everything is put together. You know, stuff from Gresham, stuff from Will, stuff from Hunter, stuff from me, you know, everything all joined into one. And I think it'll benefit everybody. I mean, this is basically just getting started in my opinion. And I think it's only going to get better, especially once these shows start hitting and getting out there and that gets even more buzz and everybody gets to see everything. I think it'll really pick up after that.
Let's go back to some of the success stories of the world's famous Monster Factory, specifically guys like Matt Riddle, Punishment Martinez, our friends Coast to Coast, actually all of who, I believe, except for Shaheem, have done our podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So go ahead and talk about what that feels like as a trainer, as a friend, as a boss, to see these guys excel. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some names. But just talk
yeah,
about
I mean,
that.
Well, here's what was really cool. Because, like, me and, like, I didn't train Punishment Martinez. What was happening was he was, you know, we trained together back in and wrestled together back in, like, 2004 and 5. Same with, like, QT Marshall.
Yes.
But we just got back together when all this started forming. So Luis just started working out more and getting in better shape here. And we would, you know, we would sit down and go over ideas. So he became like my right-hand man here. He was helping me out with coaching and training, and he moved right down the road from the school. So he would have input. I would have input. We would butt heads and stuff like that. But it was awesome because like we listened to each other, but we got along enough to coexist, but we would still argue and go at each other over certain things, but that's good. It was healthy. And, you know, to see the transformation he took, because he used to weigh like 300 pounds, you know, and he just like he had to work hard because he realized, man, I really do want this. And he's been, you know, we would have training and, you know, the training would start at 7 and he would show up at 7. And then he found out other people were showing up at 7 to train with him and work out early. So he would show up at 6 just so he worked out more than that. And that's the work ethic he had. Coast to Coast, you know, Shaheem, was one of my first students because he came over like in 2011 with the other guys. And he's someone who had such natural athletic ability. He didn't stay here very long. He started then going to the dojo and doing his own thing. But Gio was I think, one of my best success stories as far as somebody who he proved me wrong because I didn't think he had anything. I saw somebody who was very athletic and had, you know, good ideas, but then like I had to kind of take him out of his comfort zone with certain things and on purpose push his buttons to see where he'd go with things. And he listened and did everything I'd said. Again, there's times where we bump heads and we argue and stuff like that, but that's fine. In the long run, he knows I have his best interest at heart and he'll listen to my advice. And he even told me, he's like, if I wasn't here, I don't know where I'd be. I sure as hell wouldn't be at Ring of Honor right now.
And let me ask,
like I said, he put in the work though.
Before we get to Riddle, who I really want to talk about, LSG was our in studio guest a few weeks back, and he said that he invented Cage Face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
You can confirm that.
No, he did without a doubt. I would post up the picture of it. But then he would whenever I discussed anything goofy or like people letting me down or doing something really stupid, I would post that picture. So then he, like, for my birthday, he like messaged all these various people in wrestling and just had them do it. And he made like a huge collage out of it, which was, yep. Like, I was like really flattered about it. I loved it.
He
did come up with the term and everything.
I was actually like, I put up like a side by side of like an actual respectful picture of you with the Cage Face, and I took it down. I'm like, oh man, is Cage gonna be pissed that I post this?
Nah, I don't care. I think it's great. I love it. I mean, it was just something that I was just like, literally, that was in a hotel room. I was sitting in a hotel room. It might have even been in Orlando. It might have been when I was in Orlando, like when WWE invited me out there. And it was just like, I was so thoroughly frustrated with that in itself. It was just completely like, long story, but I'm not getting into it. I'm put it this way. I'm way happier now. It would be like me talking about like a girlfriend I wanted to date. And I'm mad about it. No, I'm just like, so glad I got this cool girlfriend called Ring of Honor right now, Monster Factory. But I was just like sitting in a hotel and I just like took a picture of myself and posted like this thing up, and then it just kind of caught on, like everybody having fun with it. So yeah, it was kind of cool.
I absolutely love it. It's the like the picture, you look at the picture and it's obviously it's funny, but then you see the message that you're trying to send underneath it, and it
right.
And it makes 100% sense if you have half a brain. So it's
right.
Like I absolutely love it, and I hope to see more. I haven't seen them in a little bit, not gonna lie.
I know that I get, it's just like wrestling, you can't give them too much. If you do a 450 every match, they're going to want to see it every single match.
It's the fairest
so
point.
You have to hold it back. And plus, I'm going to get the release of the shirts coming out and stuff. So come on, man. You feed into it.
Beautiful. All right, let's talk about Matt Riddle. How proud are you of his success, and how far do you think he will go in under the NXT WWE brand?
I think it's limitless. I think the only thing that could really stand in his way is himself. And I'm not saying that like that he's going to, but like, I just look at his past, but I just know he's done so much growing up. He's in a better place. He's got now a wife and kids. So that makes it, the stakes are that much higher. So I think he'll be okay, but I can't see him not getting, you know what I mean? I can't see him not getting over. And when I say like himself is his biggest, hurdle to get over, it's not that he's an issue. I think that he's so good, so talented, that could be the only reason that he doesn't do good. He's super talented, super charming. Like, you can't stay mad at him. And I got mad at him many times. Like, and I mean, I got in screaming matches with him. Like, cause it was very frustrating because he was coming from a world of like UFC and really fighting and shoot wrestling and all this stuff. So he wasn't understanding there's a way to act, things to do. He wasn't understanding the locker room etiquette, the wrestling etiquette, why things are done, why you don't go out there and do a million things. He was like, well, if I can do it, why shouldn't I do it? And then, you know, just, you know, and he was go, go, go. And he would have, you know, as soon as everybody got a sniff of how good he was, then he had a million people in his ears. And that makes my job that much harder as a coach.
Right.
Because my job is to keep you grounded, keep your nose to the grindstone. I still want you going out there and working. I still want you doing this, this, and this. But at the same time, you have to listen to your coach. You have to do this or do that. But one of the, like I said, one of the most charming kids ever, fun-loving, nicest kids, hardest working when he's in the ring and stuff like that. And someone who gets it and just natural ability because, like, man, he was just, like I said in the one thing for WWE, like he was a kid in a candy store when he walked in. His eyes were so wide open and he was just like, you could tell that he loved pro wrestling and that's where he deserved to be. And it was just awesome to see the course he took because, like, you know, WWE told him no. So he went out and was just like, all right, screw you. I'm going to go do my thing. And once it got to the point, like, where WWE's like, man, we better sign him or we're not going to be able to sign him. You know, they jumped on that opportunity and it was smart by them and smart for him.
Danny.
I think if he didn't, you know, if he didn't go out there and seek those other options, WWE would have been just fine to keep him basically like right there and evolve and do whatever. And we'll grab him when he's ready.
Danny, they're like every answer you have inspires like six more questions from me. We're going to have you back on again. We don't want to keep you, but
no, I'm fine. I'm good until at least 8 o'clock because we have amateur wrestlers in there going. So if you want to talk, I'm ready.
Oh, that's awesome. And so I'll save the best question for last, but let me just ask in terms of, you mentioned that the Monster Factory and the Ring of Honor Dojo is a feeder system to Ring of Honor. And of course, everyone equates that to NXT being the feeder system to WWE. How important or how much can you stress the importance of some company having that feeder system?
Oh, I mean, put it this way. I mean, imagine what WWE would have to pay for all these guys if they didn't have a feeder system. You know, when somebody goes out and makes a name, now they have to pay him so much more. Like, that's what I laughed because, like, you know, a couple years ago, you know, the WWE, you know, they had a chance to sign Luis and they didn't. Well, now they paid more, you know? So I think, like, what's going to work out with the Ring of Honor and everything is you're going to have these kids and you're going to have them learning under you, training at the dojo. Then once they get called up to the main roster, there's a lot of other things to, you know, do. Like, not just, okay, here's how we work at Ring of Honor. Here's how we work the cameras. Because there's people that have come in, you know, and they're not used to working on TV, or they're not used to working in front of this kind of TV, or they're not used to the Ring of Honor style. These kids in this feeder program for the ROH Dojo are essentially going to learn to work for Ring of Honor TV. So once they get called up, it's just insert, you know, and the Future of Honor system will show the work. So there's a buzz of, man, are they going to get called up? Who's getting called up first? Is this person, you know, and especially if we can maneuver it where we actually have like almost like a draft, where people get drafted from the Future of Honor up to the main roster, or free agents get picked up and stuff like that. I mean, I think it's limitless, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. But, like, a feeder system is key, and I'm glad to be connected. Like, we're connected to the feeder system of the feeder. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that's so cool.
And I'm going to hit you with one before you go. This might be a curveball for you. I'm not sure. You've probably been asked about it before. All Elite Wrestling. Thoughts on how that could possibly impact Ring of Honor and thoughts about, is there enough space for All Elite Wrestling to exist with Ring of Honor, with new talent in terms of them getting new talent?
I've not been asked about All Elite Wrestling at all. Here's my take on it. I never speculate on anything until I see some evidence of something. Like, I don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
They haven't run a show yet. They said they signed some talent. I don't know if they did. This is wrestling. It could all not have happened. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
It wouldn't be the first time that somebody said that we've signed such and such and such and such and nothing's ever happened. I'm not saying nobody is signed, but what I'm saying is, like, when's their first show? In May?
Yeah, I believe Double or Nothing is in Vegas at MGM Grand in May, I believe, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's their first show. So, I mean, that's a long way away, you know, February, March, April. I mean, that's 4 months away. That's 120 days. And I don't even know what they're going to run after that. I don't know if they're going to have TV, if they're going to run weekly shows, if they're going to do TV tapings and just release it after that. Are they going to run in big venues like this one? Because MGM Grand is a lot of money. Yeah. I don't know if you look into it, but it's a lot of money to get that building. Yep. And, you know, I know they have financial backing and all that stuff, but like with anything, when stuff isn't profitable, the financial backing can go away. So that's why, like, I can't speculate because I don't want to say it's going to be the greatest thing ever because it could go away tomorrow if the guy just decides he doesn't want to do it anymore. You know what I mean? It's not like I know this guy's a big wrestling fan, but sometimes that guy like doesn't decide to do it anymore. You know, that's my biggest fear. Now, I think that those guys are great wrestling minds. And if everything works out, sure, it could be awesome. But I think I'd have to see the first show that they run. And then I'd have to see their scheduling come up. I think it's awesome that people are being signed if they're being signed and if they're making good money doing it. I want everybody to get paid. Like my goal is like, I would love everybody who's earned a job in wrestling and busted their ass in wrestling to make a living wage wrestling. Cause there's nothing more heartbreaking when you see somebody and you have to work at a Quickie Mart or wherever and wrestle. So I want everybody making good money, but at the same time, I'm like, is it sustainable? It's right. It's a very niche thing you're doing, or niche, or whatever they want to call it. You know what I mean? But it's like very, you know, to us, we get it. We think it's the greatest stuff ever. But then other people, they're like, what's that? I don't even understand. They still think it's WWF and Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know, everything to them is WWF and Hulk Hogan. So I hope it does good. And I hope what that means is other companies now invest more money in their guys because of fear of people getting signed or going elsewhere. Plus it makes people then treat their employees better because if not, they're going to leave, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, my wife treats me fantastic, but if a hot lady moved in next door, I think my wife would be really nice to me. and, you know, and I think like if a really super good looking guy moved next door, I'd probably treat my wife even better. Not saying I'm not a great husband, but that's just the way, you know, human nature works.
That's a perfect analogy.
So I think like this is going to make, I can't speak for other companies, but I would assume it would make ROH, it would make WWE and whoever else is running stuff, New Japan and all that other stuff, really take care of people in fear of if they're not happy, they're going to leave. I hope they get a TV deal. I hope it means more TV, more contracts, more money for everybody. But we shall see. I got to really reserve judgment until I see their first show and what they're going to do after. Cause I'm very curious and I've been talking to some people on the inside, so I'm just very curious of where they're going to go with this. And it's not me bagging on them or doubting them. I go by like what I see in front of me.
Absolutely. And I've been saying it all depends on what their objectives are as a company. Do they want to run weekly TV? Do they just want to run a show once a month or this and that? So I feel like we have to wait and see. It's a much to do about nothing until then.
Right. So- and then at the same time, I don't know, what their contracts are going to be. Are the contracts exclusive contracts, or are they just, you can work for us and this is what we'll pay you contracts?
Exactly.
Are these the I don't know what the, you know, it's not like a, you know, like an NFL contract where it stipulates what they got. It just says contract.
Well, before we let you go, let's talk about something you can't control. The objectives of the ROH Dojo, the objectives of the Monster Factory going forward. What's the future hold for Danny Cage, Ring of Honor Dojo, and of course the Monster Factory?
What I wanted to keep doing is what I've been doing for the last 7 years, is proving everybody wrong, putting in the work, leading by example, and surrounding myself with the right people. Like, I want everybody around me doing good. Like, if I'm ever giving anybody any advice or anything like that. I tried to explain it to some kids. Like, if you do good, I do good. So if I'm on you about stuff, it's because I think you're doing bad or you're going down the wrong path. You go down the wrong path, it's going to hurt me longer than it hurts you, because you're just a student. I'm the coach. You're my pupil. Then it reflects on me more than it does you, because you're just, he's just a student. But it's on me what you do. So I like to lead by example. And I think our track record of developing talent and pros in and out of the ring and the model for the business itself has stood the test of time, and it's constantly improving. So I think with the resources of the ROH Dojo, also with MCW, they're another affiliated school, also with the 3D Academy and the Monster Factory, I think the ROH Dojo is just going to grow, and especially with the trial camps and stuff like that and Future of Honor, I think sky's the limit. I just want to see how this first season comes out. And then guess what? Like, the first season of NXT and FCW and all, it was good, but compared to what NXT is now, it's not that great. So I think we're just going to get better and keep improving and keep improving and keep improving. Same with your first match isn't as good as your, you know what I mean? It wasn't as good as your last match. But at the same time, you're only as good as your last match. So we have to keep always improving. And I'm never satisfied, ever.
That's awesome. Danny Cage, thank you so much for joining. I could talk to you for hours about the business.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Just let me know, brother.
Absolutely. You can follow Danny Cage at Real Danny Cage on Instagram, at The Danny Cage on Twitter, ROH_Dojo on Instagram, for Monster Factory on both platforms, and, of course, Dojo ROH on Twitter as well. Danny Cage, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, we have to do it again.
You got it, man. Thank you, brother. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Thanks, Danny.
You got it. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Danny Cage.
Dude, like, we're on the outside looking in, clearly.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just know when someone gets it.
And that's exactly why he's in the position that he's in right now. Yeah. And that's why the only question I really asked.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Look, when you're on a roll, you just go with it.
I have this little 1985 me little notebook next to me. And everything he says, I'm writing down something else I want to talk
about.
But,
you know, we read his extensive Wikipedia profile where they talked about, like, his personal life, trying to get into wrestling, not being able to get into it, and then finding his way back to it and all that. It's like a guy that wants to be a wrestler that much, and then his career, not necessarily cut short, but maybe not as long and prosperous as he wanted it to be. And then he winds up on the coaching side, you know, for all intents and purposes. And that's for a lot of people, they can't do that. Like, some guys,
and a lot of people give him grief for that, because he didn't necessarily have the best career, but he's still highly regarded as one of the best minds and trainers.
You look at a lot of coaches in the NFL. A lot of them did not have great careers as professional players
or played at all.
Any sports.
Yeah.
Any sports, to be honest with you. Speaking of sports, we've got some more to cover, including the return of NXT Halftime Heat, which supplanted Maroon 5, which we talked about earlier. And we're going to talk some Monday Night Raw, get into some other things. But Kevin, as we always say,
back after this.
Hey, I know what you're thinking. Valentine's Day is coming. You need to get your significant other a gift. Whether it's a man, woman, or whatever he, she, or Zivzer wants to identify by, you can find any gift you're looking for by going to Amazon. But don't go directly to Amazon. No. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as always. And your love for your significant other will get a little bit into our pockets. It'll help us out. It'll make us happy. And it'll make you happy. You'll be falling in love all over again. But this time, it's with the Shining Wizards.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
For any of you parents out there, or any of you younger people who are into video games at all, probably recognize the Hot Marat song from Fortnite. Oh, I love this song. It annoys the shit out of my son.
Go fort yourself.
Who, as you know, I like that one, who, as you know, is playing it when you arrive tonight upstairs.
He's always playing it. I'd be upset. Like, I would think something is wrong if I walk into your house and your kid is not playing Fortnite.
Well, he'd probably be at a friend's house playing it somewhere else. But this song in particular, you know, like, the big thing with Fortnite is the dancing. Like, they have emote dances, which is what, like, Carlton is suing them over, and a lot of people are suing them over, because they just pretty much take dances that are already out there and supplant them and put them into the game. So this one came from Wreck-It Ralph sequel, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and I loved it. So every time I play, like, this is my song of choice, and it annoys the shit out of my kid. So I'm constantly, like, putting this on loop for him and annoying him with
Tony,
it.
Tony, I'm about to put on the devil's game. This conversation is boring me so much.
All right, well.
I'm just fucking with you.
Since you're bored.
No. Go on. I was actually entertained.
No, it's fine. It's what it is.
Turn down tickets to the devil's game.
I know. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
I could have talked to Danny Cage myself. I would have only had one question.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, thanks, Danny. Talk to you later, buddy.
Tony's here too. It's the Kevin Show. It's when Ricky Steamboat only introduced Eddie.
Like, only, this guy
and that Eddie and these guys.
Well, speaking of these guys, let's thank these guys. It's our Patreon list of the week. These people love us so much that they're giving us just a little bit of their hard-earned money to keep the gravy train rolling. $1,
you.
Kevin.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you all. And we're going to thank them individually right now. Cindy Ardone, which I always am pronouncing correctly. From now and here on in.
She's got to listen to the show at least once and realize how big of a creep I am, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Of course, Mike Martinelli. And yes. Our boy Kratzo, Manny Krakacho.
Kratzo!
Kakavil.
I'm a Kratzo man from a faraway land.
Now, we got the two Seans. We got Sean Toe.
Sean Toe, my man, Pots and Pans.
And we got Sean Coelho, I was looking for the email to pronounce his name correctly.
Well, first you have to learn how to pronounce.
Jeez, I can't talk.
Thanks, Matt.
I need to bring back. Oh, I'm Matt. So we got.
Dude, if you do hi, howdy, I'm Matt, and then just finish it up with that.
Like zip, 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 zip.
Oh, I can't talk.
I'm
the king. Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of stuttering Tennessee.
Jesus Christ.
No, that was Rene Dupree. I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king of stuttering Rene Dupree. No, that's not Rene Dupree.
I know, but it's so funny.
I started that thinking that Rene's last name was Dupree.
Dupree. I'm Dupree.
I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king of Dean Ambrose Rene Dupree.
Girl.
That's right.
Let's see. We've got some new. Wait. Let me get to the.
Did we get through all the Patreons?
No, not even close, which is awesome. Let me see. Dan Rusinello.
Yes.
He's the one that's always been sponsoring us.
Fuck you, bro. Oh, yes.
Okay. His brother Anthony is now a patron.
Anthony.
So now the Rusinello brothers.
Yeah, both of them. They're like, it come in. So the Authors of Pain are now the Authors of Pain are Patreons.
Jesus Christ.
No, listen.
Jeez, I can't talk.
Listen, I've known these guys prior to the podcast, Softball Buddies. So thank you, Rusinellos, a.k.a. Akam and Razor.
Kevin dropped the microphone.
I'm having fun,
mic
buddy.
Drop.
I'm having fun, man.
Of course you are. You know who else is having fun?
Who?
William Mercier. He's a new patron.
Yes, like the Merce.
And I bet you I mispronounced his name, too.
Waylon Mercier.
Ryan Arthur.
Yes, another new patron. But longtime fan and supporter, so thank you.
Which is awesome. And, of course, the queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Homer.
Homer! Hey, guys!
Hey, can we throw a happy birthday out there to one of our faithful listeners?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Lisa, it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Happy birthday, Lisa. To you. Thank you for all your support and buying all of our shirts.
I bet you Lisa could probably bench press you at this point.
Anyone can bench press me, but yeah, she can.
I mean, she could put you up for like a 20 reps, a whole set, and then come back and do 20 more.
Maybe.
I would think so.
Maybe one day.
She's tough, man.
She's awesome.
We got to book Lisa against like Dan Moff. That'd be awesome.
Ooh.
That'd be awesome.
Lisa Moff?
Lisa's Moff?
Lisa Moff.
That's not nice.
I was trying to think of a pun to combine.
I did too.
Yeah.
We both
failed miserably. We both failed miserably.
All right, enough of the hot Marat nonsense.
So we got all of our patrons?
Yeah, let me run them down real quick again. Cindy Ardone, Maddie Kratzo, Mr. Krakoville, Mike Martinelli, Sean Cohello, Sean Toe, William Mercier, welcome, Anthony Rusinello, welcome Dan Rusinello, Kathy Hummer.
No, welcome Anthony Rusinello.
That's what I said, didn't I?
No, you said Dan.
I welcomed them both. Whatever, Kathy Hummer and Ryan Arthur. Thank you guys so much. Like we said, it's $1. Patreon.com/wizards.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands.
What?
Know what I mean? William Mercy? William Mercier?
Oh, William, really?
Oh, dude, that's not a stretch at all.
I'm the king.
Well, I'm the king of stretching.
It is Wizards Podcast. We are trying to make all of our pages have some sort of semblance of togetherness. But,
we're trying.
We try our best.
We do, and I think we're doing good.
Speaking of trying.
Uh-oh.
I gave you guys the beta for the new guests page, the guests of the Wizards.
Yes, very nice, very well done.
It's like the first draft is completely done. I kind of like put it in a better order, so when people are wanting to when we mentioned former guest of the show, Zip, and you go,
oh, he was my favorite guest.
I want to know more about Mr. Zip.
Listen, I could talk to Mr. Zip for hours. Like, we should have had him on.
Jeez, I can't talk.
Yeah. Listen, Mr. Bazooka is my favorite guest.
Wasn't that one of Superman's enemies?
Mr. Bazooka?
Yes.
No, that's Lex Luthor. He was also a horseman.
No, he wasn't.
Ah, totally, you got it.
Zip, zip, zip.
You got it. up all night.
You're a dick. I almost choked.
Sorry, don't want to keep you waiting all night because we're up all night. One sweet.
You're such a dick.
I love this. I love those guys. One guy's a Jets fan. Jeff is a Jets fan, so I like him.
Jeff is a Jets fan.
Are you doing West Side Story?
I don't know. I just got a text from somebody about a presale for something. I'm trying to pass it along.
So I get shit when I watch Devil's Games on my phone, yet you can get text messages about pre-sales.
No, it's for access. Is it for access? Yes.
You're going to go to Brooklyn for access?
There's a pre-sale for access tomorrow, but they don't list who is at what session.
They just they released it all today.
Oh, do we know the code? I figured I wanted to put it out there for our faithful listeners. That's why I'm only interested because it was about pertinent matters. By the way.
No, they released the schedule. I don't know.
Yes, Access is actually going to be at Pier 12 in Brooklyn.
So stupid.
Well, it's not really because my wife has a cousin.
My wife.
She has a cousin who's one of the engineers on the Queen Mary, which always pulls into port at Pier 12.
What is that, a Navy ship?
It's a cruise ship. It's one of those, like, round the world, old people go to die on boats.
So wait, so people are going to be...
Yes. No, seriously.
I had to wait for that to sink in. It was pretty funny.
But this is what happens. Like, we were on the ship. And
so Access in Brooklyn will do a lot of good if all the people on the boat are old and die before they get to Access.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you die to get to Access?
Oh, boy. ring your own bell, kid.
No, but the funny thing is, like, if you know anything about the piers in Brooklyn, there's nothing there. There's literally nothing there. There's no public transportation. There's no, like, ferry. It's, like, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
So how does that make sense unless you're international?
It doesn't. They're talking about it at this big hangar. And it's only good because my wife's cousin pulls.
Oh, so this
right
is a personal thing. You're not saying it's good for the greater wrestling community.
No.
Oh, okay. Fuck them, right?
Here you go. Wednesday, February 6th, 10 a.m. Use code .com. Very original WWE. Thank you to Mr. Vista, Steve LaVista, who happens to be... The
owner of La Vista Print?
Yes. Jesus, you're on a fucking roll tonight. I'm going to call you Butter.
I got to stop eating more often.
Liquid diet? You're looking good.
Thanks, man.
Holy shit. No, Steve La Vista is the author and composer of our theme song.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he's the guy behind, he's going to kill me. I can't think of Skull Tavern. Thank you. Yeah, the band hasn't been around a while, but...
Well, you would have got that way before I would have.
He was nice enough to let us co-opt his music for the show, so that awesome, like, 90s grungy kind of sound you hear in the beginning, would you call it that? Anyway, yeah, that's my boy Steve LaVista at Skull Tavern.
Steve LaVista. LaVista Punk.
You looking to go any... All right, listen, conversation's over. I'm doing
No, I'm just trying to find...
No, not you, him. I was like, fuck. I'm trying to do a show here. I appreciate the input, but it's not time for conversation. If you want to join us in our conversation, join us on Patreon.
That's it.
Dicko.
Buy a shirt. Wolfpack Tony looking svelte in that Shining Wizards Kevin.
You know, I'm feeling good. I've been hitting the DDP yoga again. Wow. Doing a lot of ab work, too, to get rid of the gunt. Gunt? I didn't say gunt.
Gunt?
Oof. You want to talk Halftime Heat?
I'll talk about whatever you want.
Let's talk about Halftime Heat. We might as well get into some more wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Of course. That's what we do here.
That's it.
You watched it.
I did.
You enjoyed it.
I liked it.
I don't think it told much of a story, to be honest with you.
Agreed. 100%.
But for what it was, I liked it.
They told the story at the end of TakeOver to lead to this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again... It was a match for the sake of having a match, which is fine. It's perfectly fine.
This was the definition of get your shit in. You have 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
And it was fine. I look, a lot of people shit on, like, oh, somebody falls out, somebody else comes in, like, and they hit this, they hit that. I like that in the context of a match.
I agree.
And I'm into that.
And this, as far as I know, this this is the match, again, for the sake of having a match. I don't think you'll get too much storyline out of it, even though you can, because everyone involved is involved in a storyline with one of the others. So you could easily make that happen. And, of course, they did NXT tapings since then. I know there's kind of a big spoiler going around. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Oh, I remember it.
Don't tell me.
I'll just say this.
I watch NXT every week, so I don't want to know.
I'm not going to put who or what, but a lot of people have been comparing it to what they used to do in the old territory days wanted to throw off the fans. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's very interesting. It hasn't aired yet, but it's very interesting what they were doing. So we'll see how it actually plays out.
And I put out the question today on our Facebook about who, like, because that match, just when you think NXT, like when a Kevin Owens or a Sami Zayn or a Samoa Joe or somebody else leaves, you got six guys that are top guys, not only in NXT, but probably in WWE or anywhere they want to go.
Yeah.
And it just shows. So I was like, who was your I was intrigued. Like, who is your favorite NXT guy?
I kind of like the War Raiders right now. Aleister Black, I'm a big fan of.
Right.
I'm a big fan of his. And mind you, I haven't been watching a lot of NXT. I'm just starting to get back into it. Matter of fact, I was taking you on my bit of a journey the past couple of days.
You don't watch as much NXT as you watch Japanese wrestling.
I haven't really watched a lot this year yet. What's his name, lose the title to the old guy? Kenny Omega lost to the old guy, Tanahashi.
Let's move on.
No, isn't he like 45? Yes. Didn't we have this conversation?
Yes, we did.
Like the John Cena of Japan? I think that's what we called him. Anyway. Am I wrong?
No. It's but
see, I watched.
So you're a War Raiders guy.
Dude, they looked amazing in that tag title match against Undisputed Era. That was sick. The fucking tall muscular one was throwing around the tall fat one. Like using him like a, not even a battering ram, dude, like a dart. He was just throwing them at people. It was crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I'll read the responses right now on Twitter just because NXT, or on Facebook.
Well, yeah, just rip through them. Go ahead.
Obviously, Velveteen Dream gets a lot of votes. Hummer's the first one I saw.
I don't know if I really like him yet. Verdict's still kind of.
I hated him. I'm a fan now. I hated him because I was a Patrick Clark guy. And I hated that they turned him into that.
Okay.
But I'm a huge fan of it now.
All right. I got questions to ask you about NXT, but keep going.
All right. Let's see. JP.
Well, you don't have to mention who they are. Just mention names.
That's a good point. You have to be a Patreon follower for that.
No, it's not that. It's just.
No, you do.
We took a lot of time with Danny Cage, so I want to make sure we get some stuff in. That's all right.
That's fine. Adam Cole, obviously. Ricochet. Matt Riddle gets an answer. Ciampa. One person mentioned like four or five. Ricochet, Gargano, Ciampa, Black, Baszler, Bianca Belair. All amazing.
Bianca Belair? Come on.
I'm a fan of Belair.
Sam Roberts isn't. And I'm a Sam Roberts guy.
I'm a Sam Roberts guy, too. But I'm also a major wrestling figure podcast guy.
Why? Is Bianca Belair on the major?
No, but Sam Roberts is going head-to-head with the major wrestling figure podcast at my turf, Caroline's on Broadway.
Ooh.
Live show February 27th. Cheap plug for the major bros and Sam.
So Sam's doing a live Sam
Roberts.
They're
both doing they're doing dueling podcasts, and then they're going to do like a simulcast of some sort.
Wait, is one interviewing the other and then vice versa?
No, I don't know if there's going to be a mediator or not, but both it's going to be Hawkins and Ryder.
How come we don't get invited to this shit?
Because I'm afraid to ask.
What? I would love to interview Hawkins. Fucking Kurt Hawkins sat right where you're sitting on that couch.
That's right.
He was here.
Yep, and so was Sam.
Sam was here, too. Well, right. Sam was doing commentary for...
For the PWS.
Yes. Oh. But Sam's been here.
Sam, listen, that's... Zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip-zip
That's the greatest soundbite ever.
That's a pretty good one.
Just for this week, and then next week it's going to be like,
no, it's going to be best. It's going to be the best when Matt comes back.
I'm going to annoy the shit out of him.
Play it one more time.
Jeez, I can't talk.
I don't even know what the hell she was
trying
to call.
Did you tape the soft open, if you will, for the what you were?
Oh yeah.
Do you have that?
Oh, it's on there.
Play it.
I can't. It's on the open.
All right, we'll play it next week.
You have to go back to the beginning of the show and
no,
listen to it.
No, it wasn't on the open. You didn't play it on the open.
What are you talking about?
Oli Oli O?
Yeah, it's in the beginning of the show.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
No, you didn't hear it because I didn't play it. It wasn't on the broadcast.
Ah.
That's a podcast exclusive, Kevin. That's to get you to listen twice.
You got to get me to listen once first.
Well, this is true. Jesus. Jeez Louise. Any names stick out on that list or nothing?
The standard. I mean, yours was the one that I thought was the most surprising, the War Raiders.
Well, because everybody says Ciampa, Gargano, you know.
That's how loaded it is, man. It's insane.
I get it. Okay, questions about NXT. The Street Profits. They wrestled Buddy Murphy's old teammate there.
Wesley Blake and, oh my God, he's a Monster Factory guy. Holy shit, how did we not bring him up?
We brought up a lot.
Not Jackson Riker.
Jesse Riker.
Steve Cutler.
Okay. The Street Profits, do they normally wrestle in tights that look like the old Harlem Heat tights?
No. Angelo Dawkins, I hate his gear. I've said that.
No, but they were wearing the tights.
The gold. Oh, no. They were wearing red this past week.
But they were wearing tights like Booker T and Stevie Ray with the hoop in the middle.
I didn't see that.
Yo,
they don't. But
they don't.
They
okay.
don't. No. Okay. They wrestle in worse gear. If that's
worse gear.
Angelo Dawkins does.
Angelo Dawkins is the big guy.
Yes, he wrestles in like shorts.
No, the skinny guy was wrestling in shorts. This dude had like long tights with the gear up top. Yo, his titties were hanging out, dude. It looked fucking gross.
Montez Ford is like we said.
Montez Ford is the skinny guy that carries the solo cup.
Yes, he's a star. He's money.
No, the other guy's money too, but just not as much money.
Nah, probably not.
Like he might be a Grant, maybe a Grant and a Jefferson. He's not trying to get my hands on some Grants like Horace. Nothing.
Oh, I like that. That's
all about the Benjamins, baby. Yeah.
Oh my God, we're off the rails.
Hey, this is Justin, your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
Hey,
join
we're
me
up.
And my dog as we tell you about shit.
Support the Inconclusive Breakdown.
Support all the shows on the Shining Wizards. We need a commercial from Nigel. Hello.
Hello.
I hate my baby's mother.
I had to listen
to me bitch and moan about it.
And that's how we lose Nigel McGuinness.
Nigel's awesome. He knows what it's like.
Hello.
He actually had a fuck all moment on his show last week. He was just so happy. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Dude, let me tell you, the network is where it's at.
That's it.
And listen, this network's been around longer than the other network that everybody knows about.
Nigel McGuinness is on our freaking network. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm a weird British guy who can't wrestle anymore.
Oh, now he's weird?
Did you watch his documentary on
In fairness, and his original documentary, the one he put out, The Last of McGuinness, he talks about how he used to just eat cans of tuna and it would get boring, so he would watch pornography while he ate the tuna.
Because that's how I equate my boredom. It's either tuna or pornography. That seems like a lateral move.
Well, it makes sense if you really
think. Well, yeah, of course. I was honestly hoping he didn't pick up on that.
Oh, speaking of tuna, did you hear Priscilla Kelly had another match where she threw up on somebody and then the dude threw up?
Vomit.
Yes.
Vomit's a hell of a tool.
And actually, Darby helped her out with the puking.
He's a good husband.
You know what? It's fucking amazing, those two.
That's what really makes a marriage work.
Those two are great. I wish he would have saved the puke and then gave it to fucking DJZ in a cup.
Could have gave it to Nigel.
A puke-lata. Fucking hell, dude. What happened to this show tonight?
Hello? Hey, Priscilla Kelly, do you have any more of that vomit?
Oh, my God. She's the best. He's the best. They were fucking awesome.
I love everyone.
I love all of our guests, dude.
Like, I do, too.
Like, going back through the list, going through the page again, it's just amazing who we
talked to. The page again? We never had Paige on.
Paige, yeah.
Paige, yeah.
Paige was on Raw?
Yes.
She looks like $1 million now.
Well, yeah. Now look at you now. Look at you turning the page on Paige. There you go. Hey, Priscilla.
No, it's Paige. Paige and Priscilla. Paige here. Oh, look at me.
I'm actually really excited to see that movie, by the way.
I kind of am, too. I really turned the page on that movie.
I already said that.
I know.
It doesn't work when you do it 2 seconds after it's made.
Okay. I've done a 180 on this movie, Kevin. I turned this movie over.
How about... I got nothing.
All right. Well, there you go.
I put the bookmark on the page.
Wait a minute.
How about?
Wait a minute.
How about? I'd read that.
Oh, no.
Keep going.
Cover to cover. All right. I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna get a good one. That was my best one.
Stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Correct. Ding.
We're done. Good night. Holy cow. Oh my god, that was amazing.
I'm still gonna get a good one. I'm still gonna find one. It's like when we're talking about like Finn Balor, I'm gonna get a page joke in. Or like when we talk about I don't know.
Alright.
Let's go to Raw.
Yes.
And I don't wanna go through the whole show. I really don't give a fuck.
Hot open, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Is Becky Lynch really hurt?
I don't know.
See, because she was wearing a knee brace. And they've got quite a few people that are hurt right now. Seth Rollins has a back injury. Sasha Banks was hurt at the Royal Rumble, though they didn't specify, which explains why she didn't wrestle in the tag match against Alicia
Fox. Fucking stealing my gimmick that I stole from Noam.
Dar, dar, dar.
Dar, dar, dar. Noam, dar.
Who was Alicia Fox and Nikki Cross?
Which I actually kind of like that team.
I like, yeah. You know what, dude?
They're so opposite. It's insane.
Since before the Rumble, complete turnaround on Alicia. She's been
there for 12 years.
But now she's hit her stride, and like this character with her just overreacting to everything. Yeah. I fucking love it. Right. With the fucking captain hat and all that. I don't know what it is, dude. All in. Pushed all the chips.
I know what it is.
And Nikki Cross looked great in the match too.
I wish she was on SmackDown though.
Well, she might be yet.
Oh well, she could if they win the tag team championships in the Elimination Chamber.
No, she's a floater right now. She's
still a floater too.
She's a floater. EC3. Who else did they mention was floating? Oh,
well, Lars hasn't been on TV.
The construction guys are floaters too.
Heavy duty.
Yes. What I make in my pants.
That's it. No,
dummy. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Wrong button.
Correct. No, that was. You didn't have to say that. That worked. Because it's heavy machinery, not heavy duty.
No, duty. Duty, duty, duty.
I like to stop at the duty.
In your face.
That's it.
Duty. Also, AJ Styles apparently has a hernia. That's what I had heard, Nia.
Correct. Ding.
How come you get the correct and I get the dummy?
Because I'm working the board.
That's a good point.
I control the buttons.
I am the puppet master.
Oh, so did you see the this and that with Natty and
Dana Brooke?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
How fucking dumb, dude. I saw that from a million miles away.
I didn't, but I'll give him a pass on it 100%. Because it's kind of that stupid hokey stuff that. Listen, I don't have wireless earbuds, so I didn't see it coming. All my earbuds still have wires to them.
Oh, fair enough.
So, like, when I saw that, I was like, that makes sense.
But then again, she's got long hair. She had her hair turned, head turned to the side.
She never actually kind of made contact with Dana at all. Can't believe we're going with this instead of Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle.
We're getting there.
All right.
We're getting there. Apollo Crews, did he wrestle Rezar?
I don't know if they wrestled on the show, but they had a segment.
They had a little lippiness between each other.
So Anthony Russinello and Apollo Crews had a segment on Raw.
Yes. Leo Rush
really thought you were going to sell that more.
Oh, sorry.
Anthony
Wait. Okay.
Oh, dummy. Yeah.
This is all for me to get back for all the times I buzzed you. Does that work?
That's fine.
All right, good.
Yeah, because I guess something about Apollo Crews supporting Kurt Angle or something like that. That's nothing.
His hero. What's his name? Drake had a good line, too. I forgot what it was, but whatever.
Good talk.
Yeah, I know. It was fun.
Fucking bullshit!
That's what we do on the show, Sheiky.
All right, I'll tell you what my highlights of Raw were.
Okay.
Obviously, the open with Becky beating the shit out of Stephanie was fun.
Yeah, fuck Stephanie.
The segment backstage with Ronda Rousey.
She came off like a tough bitch,
She is a tough bitch.
But she's needed to do that. She can't be like this happy-go-lucky you-know-what all the time.
I think Becky brings it out in her. And did we talk about this off-air or was this opening?
This was off-air.
This is off-air. I think Becky, like, and sometimes it takes a great performer to step your game up.
But Ronda fucking with the entire Riot Squad, the fucking Job Squad 2019. That was great too.
Yeah.
She's like, you want some of this? Get in here. You want some of this? Come on, you're next.
Can I nitpick, but like bring something up?
Yeah, yeah.
Rhonda can say like Advil and something bitch to Becky, but when Road Dogg comes out to the ring, he can't say your ass better call somebody. He has to say you better call somebody.
Fair enough.
I just like if you're gonna do it, I guess
well, you know why? Because Rhonda doing it, they want to keep it special. That's probably what it is.
I don't know.
Because
what
if
it
everybody
is.
Comes out, I'm gonna beat your ass, I'm gonna beat your ass, like it loses its feeling.
But like because Road Dogg also said doggy style and shiznit, which at the end of the day we all know what that is. But ass they say like shit in fucking Comedy Central now. So you can't say like your ass I mean unless
wait, they don't say fuck on Comedy Central.
After a certain time.
Oh, after
time
1 o'clock, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay, fair
but
enough.
I guess maybe Road Dogg is just so used to nowadays saying you better call somebody. But I'm thinking I just heard Rhonda say bitch and Road Dogg can't do your ass better.
And he did like the humpy thing on
the humpy.
Too.
He did the shimmy with the doggies. He said doggy style.
I'm surprised he didn't say puppies.
Yeah. Huh.
He's the one that came up with that.
What?
It wasn't Jerry Lawler. It was Road Dogg that came up with puppies.
I'll take your word for it.
I forget how the story goes, but that's where it came from.
Anyway, speaking of Road Dogg.
He's a pioneer.
Jeff Jarrett match on Raw.
Looked good.
Loved it.
Looked good.
People
didn't wear that goofy fucking titty stripe thing either, which was nice.
He hadn't worn that in a while.
He looked like a goof wearing that. He looks so much better wearing his like the tights that he's worn for since like 2000.
And he's still in great shape.
Oh, he is. He's an old man. He's got to be 50, right? I will look it up as we talk.
But anyway, I made a Facebook post yesterday, like how I hate looking back at my memories, and I've said this here before, because it makes me look like such a fucking stupid, uneducated wrestling idiot. But I posted it last night that I love seeing Jeff Jarrett in a WWE ring again.
How old do you think Jeff Jarrett is?
47.
He's 51.
Okay.
47.
I was going young. I didn't want to insult the guy. He listens. He's an avid listener to the show.
No, he's a great guy. He's been nothing but gold to us. I love having him on here.
Nothing but what to us?
Gold. Pyramid gold. I didn't even realize it when I
know,
said
I know. I was waiting for you to get there.
Ah, Jesus. No, wait, well, we got a
button. Jesus!
Haven't hit that button in a while. It's been 10 minutes.
No, Jeff Jarrett, like I said, one of my favorite. Nicest guy in person and on this show ever, 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 ever.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's getting this moment again makes me super happy on a personal level. Fans didn't really buy it, though.
Ah, fuck the fans.
But listen, I think...
Elias is in a weird spot. That's why.
You beat me right to it. You beat me right to it. Elias is kind of like the Braun Strowman flip-flop. It's like Elias, they just all of a sudden flip back... to a heel, and the fans aren't ready to accept him as a bad guy yet.
They're not, because they booed him for talking shit about Portland, but then when he did the walk with Elias, the crowd was loud as shit.
And they booed Jeff Jarrett and the Road Dogg.
And Jarrett lost. What's Elias's finisher?
Guitar to the back?
No, the other one.
Guitar to the face?
Yes. No, the flippy thing that he does.
Is it this? I honestly don't even know what it is. Is it the Crossroads? Does he have him in like a front face lock and then kind of?
I think that's what it is. Crossroads. I think that's
might
what
be Cody's called. Move. I honestly don't know.
the piano tuner. Getting kind of phlegmy. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, man. You're drinking a lot of that Pepsi Cola.
Yes, I am. What else did you like? Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, I liked, and I don't.
The ending was weird when they had their match. The ending was weird.
That's all you. So go on with that. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Braun was in the ring, but he wasn't the legal man, and it was like 2 minutes left in airtime, so they must have said, like, you got to go home. And the referee was telling him not to hit Baron Corbin because Baron Corbin was legal, but Kurt Angle was the legal guy for their team. And he's like, don't hit him, don't hit him. And he's like, fuck you, and he hit him, and then he got disqualified. Like, that doesn't happen. Seriously.
Sometimes it happens.
I don't know. But they were going to beat up Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle sounded like he was going to retire. And, you know, saying, I don't know if I got it. What did he say? I'm suffering from the 3 Ds, depression.
Doubt? Was doubt?
Doubt, depression, and something else. I forget.
And,
dejection.
Not disappointment.
Maybe. The 3 Ds. Dummy,
Yeah. Douche
and dick.
And yeah.
There you go. Dildos. But, Kurt Angle's into dildos. But he didn't mean to say that.
Oof. That's a rough one.
Rough.
Low Life Louie and Kurt Angle.
I love that shit.
Hanging out.
He's my hero.
Let me say this.
Wait, Louie, is he your hero because he won a gold medal? What? He won a gold medal? I like him because he likes dildo. I didn't know that. What? What are you fucking saying?
What's a Kurt Angle?
It's got to be on the right angle when it goes in. God. Fuck.
Love you, Louie. Love you, Louie.
God damn. Woo.
Let me ask you this, though. Yes. What is your opinion? We talked about the Horsemen earlier. Ric Flair was wrestling in WCW in 94, 95, and he was 49 years old.
And they were pushing him to retire at that point.
Right. So what are your thoughts nowadays of a Jeff Jarrett or a Kurt Angle wrestling full-time for WWF?
Jeff Jarrett looks okay. Kurt Angle looks very stiff and unsure of himself. I think he's had too many surgeries, and there's a real risk that he might really get hurt.
But if doctors say it's okay, why wouldn't WWE utilize...
Yeah, but watch him in the ring, dude. Like, I know he's older, and I know he's slowed down a bit, but he just... Something doesn't look right about him when he wrestles. And I do genuinely get afraid that when he's dropping somebody, like, you know, like in the belly to back, like, I'm afraid he's going to wind up getting hurt. Like, and I don't feel
that
way.
Wait, you worried that Angle's going to get hurt?
Yeah.
Or the guy that he's
suplexing
is going to
get hurt? No,
I'm worried
about Angle getting hurt, dude. His neck can't be in good shape. He just doesn't... He looks very awkward in his upper body when he's wrestling.
Let me throw this at you. Part of that might just be because he's getting older. I don't know why I said that, like Christopher Walken, but...
Hey, he's getting older.
But looking older, but... He could still go. Like, Ric Flair was taking bumps on the side of his back, his, like, hole.
Yeah, but when I watched Ric Flair wrestle in the 90s, in the 2000s, I kind of started feeling sad for Ric Flair more. Like, he's not going to get hurt. Just, like, why does he still need to do this?
In the 90s or in, WWF?
Later in WWF, after the 2000, you know, the merger and
See,
all
it's
that.
It's so weird. I never thought that about Flair.
No, Flair was more like a depression kind of feeling. Like, oh, man, he's really still wrestling.
I felt that in TNA when he decided to wrestle in TNA.
Oh, up to the stuff with Shawn Michaels, it was getting there. But, yeah, TNA was just off the charts. Like, nah, dude, come on.
And real? Then that him and Hogan match was probably the most depressing
thing. Oh, and Hogan couldn't even take a bump?
Yeah, and then, they had the whole Fortune and Elite or whatever they were called. Immortal.
The main event mafia and all that nonsense. Whatever that shit was.
I have no problem. If they want to use Jeff Jarrett kind of proved a lot of naysayers kind of said about him, that he never really draws a reaction.
Yeah, but he doesn't really wrestle a style like Kurt Angle used to wrestle.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle used to beat the shit out of himself, you know? Jarrett's wrestled that old Memphis style. Work smarter, not harder, you know?
His punches look great.
That's why Flair was able to wrestle so far into his middle age, you know? That's why. I don't know.
No, I think you're 100% right. I just don't like... If there wasn't a Hall of Fame and these guys just still happen to be wrestling this late in their career, no one would have a problem with it. Because it always happened.
I don't even...
Like, wrestlers wrestled late in their life, in their... Like, wrestling life, I guess you can say. Like, wrestlers wrestled into their 40s and 50s a lot.
Yeah, but there was a period of time where these guys were getting in shape and just beating the shit out of each other. Like, I'm no doubt some of these guys are going to have problems, but even in the past 10 years, like, training has gotten so much better. You know, conditioning has gotten so much better. Take that six-man for the halftime heat. If you would have thought a match would have been that fast 20, 30 years ago, people would have thought you were nuts.
Now, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Are any of these six guys, I mean, Gargano might be a little older than some of them. I don't know how old Ciampa is. But will these guys still be wrestling
in their 40s?
In their late 30s, 40s. Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
For all I know, Ciampa and Gargano might be there right now. They might. I don't know. They might be in their early 30s or late 20s. Honestly, I don't know.
Early 30s, sure. I don't think either one of them is 40.
But that's old and not so much anymore. But that's, like, Jericho. is still going to be wrestling, you know, if All Elite is a thing. He'll be wrestling a quote-unquote regular schedule at 49 years old.
Johnny Gargano.
He's got to be our, like my age.
Take a guess.
33.
He's 31.
Okay. So he's got time. But in a wrestling business, again, not so much anymore, but you remember when they were bringing in guys like Chris Masters and Rene Dupree, who we mentioned earlier.
Tommaso Ciampa.
35.
33. They're still young guys.
But not in terms of...
Fair enough.
But again, maybe now. Again, maybe now it's different.
You
than
look
it
at AJ
was.
Styles. AJ Styles came in on the cusp of 40. Yeah. You know.
Do you remember though when like WWE wouldn't even take a look at you unless you were like a massive physical specimen or
times
you were,
have changed. Yeah, times have changed.
You like I said, Rene Dupree, Chris Masters. I'm blanking now, but. Even a guy like Mark Jindrak at the time who had WCW experience, they wouldn't even look at you if you were over 30.
Yeah.
They would bring in guys that were awful and green and absolutely terrible as opposed to the – and again, that's just a testament to how the business has changed and how it's definitely going to continue to change with All Elite Wrestling and Ring of Honor and New Japan. And yeah. And these guys are going to get locked into long-term deals and they're going to be wrestling until they can't afford not to.
You know what got me sad?
What's that?
Sad? Yeah. Dean Ambrose, I think, is giving up. Did you see the segment with him with EC3 with the whole moment of bliss?
Yeah, well, what did he... I actually liked his promo work.
I love the promo, but that match, it didn't feel right. Having EC3 just fucking beat him the way
I think that was the point. In my head, that was the point.
So... Do you think they're just playing into the fact that Dean's leaving?
Yes.
So you think, do you still think, like, I don't remember what you said. I think that maybe it's still a work. It was just kind of sad to see him lose that way. What do you think?
I think he's gone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you think this is it? This is the farewell, Jobberino?
Yeah.
Because that promo was, you're right, it was so good. Why are you EC3? What happened to EC1 and EC2?
That was the only part I didn't like.
That's no, I loved it,
that's
dude.
Such
it
was, a hacky joke. Everyone
does
that.
But it worked, dude.
What happened to Maroon 5? What happened to Maroon 1, 2, and 3, and 4?
Yeah, but it worked in the whole scheme of things, you know?
Yeah, but what they did was they stole...
I even like...
They stole a Twitter joke from somebody.
You're going to think I'm nuts? I even like Nia Jax in that segment. I really... When she came out and she's like... I was into Royal, like that was me. Like, I was like, okay, she needs to be this kind of bitch. This is awesome.
She is a bitch.
And then when Dean comes out and says, I know you have a crush on me, but you have to, like, let it go.
That was good.
That was good. But the ring, that bugged me. That
the
was
ring?
Like, when he wrestled EC3.
Oh.
Look, EC3 getting a win over Dean Ambrose, awesome. The way it went down, I was kind of like, it was kind of depressing. It was.
Well, I mean, what do you want them to do?
When Corey Graves, or maybe it was Cole, said he's a former WWE champion, I said, and he's losing.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Well, I think when he won, they mentioned it again.
Yes, they did.
Former WWE
yes,
champion.
They did. And this fucker isn't even on Raw for good. He might go to SmackDown, but whatever.
If they're smart, they keep him on Raw.
I heard WWE is going back to Saudi Arabia.
May 3rd.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder how far in advance they announced that, because May 3rd seems kind of... it's February. I guess it's not that close. I was confused by the very warm weather we had in New Jersey today.
I'm going to steal this line, and you're going to think this is the fucking worst.
All right.
They should
can't be anything worse than I say.
No, it's pretty bad. I have to give credit for it, but I got it from 401 Mania, but I stole it. This is so fucking good. Now that I built it up. My twist is they should book Scott Steiner for the show.
What show?
The show May 3rd in Saudi Arabia.
You're fat!
No!
What?
Allah, if you hear me! Boom!
Don't say that too loud in Saudi Arabia.
Wait a minute!
Correct! Ding!
All right.
Holy shit balls.
Thank God the train is almost in the station.
Were you looking forward to seeing Batista wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania?
Is that not going to happen?
It's not going to happen because Triple H is not going to be cleared in time. So that's the early word, and it looks like, according to Mr. Meltzerville, that that's the way they're going to go. Also, unless Vince has a brain aneurysm and something happens.
Knock on wood.
They're still going with Rousey and Becky and Charlotte for Mania three-way.
Maybe that's maybe that's now to kind of protect Becky, or was that always the plan?
I don't know what they're thinking.
The money is to me. And I hate that phrase because then I sound like a fucking mark.
You are.
I am a mark. That's fine. You know what? I'm a mark. I am.
Stop apologizing. Just be a mark.
I am a mark. The money is Becky and Ronda. One-on-one. Mano y mano.
You would think.
Becky and Charlotte Asuka is also a marquee match one-on-one.
You don't think Charlotte Asuka would be a great rematch from last year?
That's what I said.
I thought you said Becky.
No, Becky... Asuka. Unless I misspoke.
You did.
Becky Ronda is the match, and Charlotte and Asuka is the match.
Oh, sorry. I meant to hit
Charlotte does that. She does have some big old tickle bitties.
Yeah, same. She looks like her old man. Anything else on Raw before we pull this train into the station? I can't think of anything else.
Hawkins and Ryder?
Yes! That's your moment, bro.
Those are my guys.
It's a shame Mojo Rawley's on the outside now. Going
that
crazy.
Is actually looking really cool, too, by the way.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Go ahead. Finish up Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Mojo Rawley.
All right. So, obviously, everyone knows that Hawkins and Ryder have a love-hate, mostly hate relationship with Mojo. Put Mojo to the side. The Hawkins-Ryder build where they...
Curt Hawkins doesn't want to drag Zack Ryder down.
Down, but
losing.
Ryder says, I'm already down. They misspelled my mother effing name.
Well, he didn't say that.
I know. That was my point.
And then Zack misspelled his own name anyway.
And then Zack misspelled the way that they had his name misspelled. And I'm telling you right now, I know I'm a homer. These are my guys.
Kevin's making a prediction.
Those are your new tag team champions at WrestleMania.
They're going to beat your favorite team of glorious...
Gable and Glory?
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to beat, but they're going to be tight. That's when they break the freaking streak.
It's going to be a four-way on the pre-show.
That's probably it.
That's what's going to happen.
You're probably right about that.
It's going to be them and Arkham and Razor, the Russinello twins.
The Russinello brothers.
And probably the Revival.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
But I don't know if they're going to be baby faces or heels.
They need to start making those matches elimination. I think they'd be more fun as elimination style.
Well, you can't do it every week. There's
no,
only so much time.
But four-way dances, like old school ECW, you get pinned, you're gone.
Well, that was like the best. There was the difference between the three-way dance and the triple threat.
Yes.
Like the three-way dance was pinned, like you get eliminated, and the triple threat was the triple threat of losing without... I explained that wrong, but you know what
I get it. So I was on a bit of a journey on the network today, real quick before we wrap this up. Edge and Christian show, The Reeks of Awesomeness. First time I ever sat down and actually watched an episode in a long time. It was like a flipping channels one. They had some great stuff. They had Jeopardy with the Riot Squad as the contestants. They made fun of Tommy Dreamer's dick size. It was great. They had Dancing with the WWE Stars. It was R-Truth and Naomi. They were the defending champs. And they danced off against Bobby Roode and Tommy Dreamer.
Ooh.
And they did the Chippendales bit from SNL.
Saturday Night Live.
It was awesome. Dude, Tommy is so gross. It's so great.
Tommy Dreamer is like, again.
His peckers go around like the side of his chest. It's so funny, dude. There were so many great moments. They showed Randy Orton putting his foot through the table and cursing when he was wrestling Kane. It was hysterical, the stuff they had on this show.
I've heard, I had never watched it. I think I may have watched like the first episode they did.
They did Saved by the Bell when Jesse was crying about the pills.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God, it was so great.
I'm so excited.
And I bet her addiction was Bootios. And while Edge is hugging Christian, Christian's behind his back eating the Bootios.
Do you remember what that episode was?
Yeah, it was the drug episode.
The caffeine,
no dose.
It was
caffeine pills. Caffeine pills, yeah.
Remember what the group was? The female band?
No, I remember Zack Attack. I don't remember the women's band.
I think it was Chocolate Sunday.
No.
Yeah, it was something Sunday.
Chocolate Sunday. That's so dumb.
I think it was.
Kevin.
Or Hot Sunday. Hold on. We can't go off the air with that.
No, no, we're not going off the air. We're going home.
God damn it. My going home is going to be about Saved by the Bell.
Okay, my going home. Jay Lethal. 646 days total as Ring of Honor champion.
I keep forgetting this.
So he sets a record for most days combined, but still does not surpass the individual record, which was the 645 held by Samoa Joe for being Ring of Honor champion. But still, it's an amazing feat to be a champion for this long in this day and age. Congratulations to friend of the show, former guest, and Kevin's co-trainee Jersey All-Pro, Mr. Jay Lethal. Congratulations, sir. Kevin, time to go home.
It was actually, my going home was about the very popular show in the mid-90s, Saved by the Bell. And you might be familiar with, you know, Zach Morris, AC Slater, Screech.
No, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Jesse Spano, Lisa Turtle, and of course, Kelly Kapowski. The name of the band was Hot Sunday, and their name of their song was With My Baby Tonight by Jeff Jarrett.
You know what? That's one thing I do get annoyed about. Did they have to sing, like, this song every fucking time they make appearances now?
They think it's going to get them over, but it really doesn't.
Well, you might as well thank Bruce Pritchard for that, because that's all his fault. He brought this song back to prominence, and I thought you made fun of me last week for doing that stuff.
I don't remember. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going home.
This has been a great episode. This was awesome. I love doing the two-man groups. I love having Matt listen on the sidelines going, oh, I wish I was there.
Oh, you guys fucking suck.
You guys are making fun of me, you fucking assholes.
Nah, listen. Matt, congratulations on everything, brother.
Yes, Matt's doing some grown-up stuff. Congratulations, my friend.
And he thanks us for doing this while he's incognito.
It's
the least I can honestly do, because you do so much for us. So, my man, Pots and Pans.
Thank you, brother. Don't forget, ShiningWizards.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We are on Rant EM Radio every Tuesday night live, RantEMRadio.com. Stay tuned, because the Rant is back. They're on next. If you listen to podcast form, thank you again for the downloads.
Yeah.
And please support us. Buy some shirts. Get on the Patreons. Be a patron.
Buy me a shirt. You get a phone call from Kevin.
You could buy Kevin. You want to give him phone calls?
I'll do it.
If you buy a KJG shirt specifically.
It's actually an SWK
shirt. Kevin will call you.
I will call you.
He will call you collect, but he will definitely call you.
I will call. That's it.
See ya.
Bye.